Welcome to a case closed review from ReverseThieves.com. In these short podcasts, we discuss our final thoughts on anime that finished up in the most recent season.
And we are wrapping up Kira Kira Precure a la Mode from Studio Toei, which was last year's Precure about baking and friendship and more baking, which is really the important part.
I mean, it was the most focused Precure I think we've ever seen, where there is always a large element of eating and food and delicious sweets in Precure, but this one took it to be the main theme of the series.
So much that they had a professional pâtissier as like a consultant, and most of the episodes had a very quick, how do you make the featured dessert that we had in this episode? And, you know, you could get, like, the full recipe and instructions online.
I was really disappointed that those fell off significantly in the, like, latter half of the series. But, yeah, I really enjoyed that. And I really enjoyed having a Precure series that was so about dessert. I mean, it made it kind of the most torturous show to watch across the board. But it also was so joyous to see it all made. And I also like that this series, like, dessert is used in here as a form of happiness, which is, like, something you really don't want to be teaching children. But
although they do tackle that at one point, at least. Dessert is kind of just, like, empty calories and all that stuff. And then they're like, you know what, but, you know, if it makes you happy and you do it in moderation, why, you know, discount that?
I think the real problem, though, is that that was one episode.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Nobody does sweets in moderation in this show. I
True.
Mean, basically donuts save the day, okay, in this series.
That's real life, Kate, though. I mean, that is real life.
It's an important lesson to have right when you're five. Donuts will save, all right? Just like, instead of Jesus, donuts. I think that's a better thing to believe in. Personally, I'm on board with that. But like, it's like, trust in the power of sweets is sort of the theme.
And human goodness, but mostly sweets.
Mostly that, yeah. And that human goodness is powered by eating enough sweets and putting enough love into the desserts that you are making, everyone.
So much that you can recreate a destroyed world.
Intense at the end. I mean, I think kind of spoilers, I guess, you know, for Precure. It's a long, 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 long series, so it's a little bit difficult to not at least spoil stuff that happens by the halfway point. Like, so there's a couple of character reveals, some backstory. I don't think we necessarily have to tell you much more about the ending, except that sweets save the planet. So, I mean, I guess we'll try to keep it a little middle of the road, but, I mean, are you really going into Precure full of worries about spoilers? I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure there's somebody out there, but
I guess, yeah.
Plus, Kate, if you read any anime news site,
full
especially ANN, they spoil stuff casually all the time and don't give one single fuck.
All right, well, we're giving that fuck right now. We're going to tell you that there are going to be some spoilers for this, so if you need to turn it off, you turn it off. All right.
So wait, just before then?
Yeah.
If there's someone who, like, cannot abide by Precure spoilers, what is your...
Oh, good call. Okay. I really loved this series. Besides the dessert aspect, which was just fantastic every time, I thought that each character brought their own, you know, personality into every story. I liked it that there were so many character-focused episodes. Even till near the very end, we were still getting, this is about this one character.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that nobody felt like they fell off the radar in terms of like, oh, this character is more popular or anything. So I appreciated that.
And they got a big new flashy cure in the middle, which sometimes is just a fun addition, and sometimes is this black hole of plot that, like, oh, I'm sorry, lesser characters, you can go over there and die because we are going to pretty much forget about you most of the time, unless, like, we decide to throw you a bone episode where it's about everybody. But I don't feel like the mid reveal Cure derailed it like other ones have. Curse!
And the cast is pretty big, and I was impressed that they were able, I felt like, to generally balance how much story everybody got, despite having a larger cast. I really liked the additional Cure's story, and I thought that it made some of the villain stuff, like, very much more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That it just, it really kind of gave it so much more robust story, I thought. The series also, very, very minorly, but enough for me to at least appreciate that they tried to give the major villain some sort of story that is relevant to what's going on.
Yeah, they're not just Betty McEvil guy who just you have to shoot enough love at to defeat.
Right, and I felt like the bad guy's story had even fit in with the theme about dessert. Like, why was that related? So I liked that they did that. I mean, I think it could have been played out a little bit, like, more longer to have more intensity, but I was glad that it was there.
Like we've said in previous ones, there are a lot of series where they don't do it at all. There have been one or two series where they do it better. But since there are so many of these series where that is the biggest complaint, that the enemy is just this faceless thing that you have to defeat and the only interesting bad guys are its lieutenants, the fact that they at least put in some amount of effort and parts of it actually succeeded is worth at least a decent amount of praise.
And I also, along with, I think, the entire internet, really loved the story of Akira and Yukari. And they were, you know, we've had cures show up that are older than the main cat, like the main cure. But in this case, they were part of the main team. They weren't like an ancillary cure. And their story is somewhat of a romance. It's not always a romance, but I think everybody exploded and totally loved that, and we were definitely on that team.
And not to spoil too much, I don't think they, like, super pull the trigger at the end, but in a way, for better or for worse, both of them are more focused on becoming the best selves and having careers. You almost feel like they could meet again when Winnie called, they're more established, and hook up again, because it's not like they, you know, I'll never talk to you again.
Yeah, but they're more focused on their future endeavors. Agreed. I think my only real complaint with this series is actually a complaint that I had, I think, in the first episode, or question that I had in the first episode, which was, are there too many collision of themes in their costumes and whatever? And I think so. I don't think the animal aspect added anything at all to this entire series. I feel like it, if you removed it, it would be exact the same.
I mean, it's not totally superfluous, but for a grand thematic element, like you said, the pastries tie in to everything, both thematically, plot element-wise, just aesthetically. If you removed pastries from the show, it would radically change. But yeah, those animals, their themes, essentially, they're only there when the writers remember them.
Yeah, I just felt like, you know, almost I wanted simplification in that aspect. And I think that sort of the fights or the, like, the powers in the fights were, not that interesting to me. But I really loved the way that they did the villains for the most part in the series. So I'd rather take that. I'd rather take, like, good, interesting monsters and whatever than Bench Monster 27. and good fighting, I think, if I'm picking, and, you know.
Are you disparaging the Bench Monsters of Maho Girls, Kate?
God, what was with the dearth of creativity in that show?
Like, it was like Toei's office, like, just was there like a bench factory that was like giving them problems that year? That they were like, we're just, benches are going to be the villains this year.
I mean, you know, if you're really hard up for ideas, ask any random child on the street for just, give me a monster right now. And they will give you something way more interesting than that. I liked the way the progression in this series was with the villains, because there's also, like, monsters that don't have, like, they're not being sent by, they're not being created by an object. They're just monsters. And then there's actual villain characters. And then they're, those villain characters are physically fighting them instead of just sending monsters after them. I don't know. I thought that was,
or
they,
like,
switched it up a lot.
Or they would have, like, different kinds of power-ups, so that, like, every time it wasn't just, all right, we're going to fight Frank again. It was like, ah, this time the villain is using this type of pastry and this power to form this kind of weapon, and then he'll fight differently when he has a different weapon.
I really liked the show. It's not my new favorite. I definitely liked it. It's up there in ones that I would say, hey, this is a really good Precure.
It's one of those where if someone was like, all right, I don't have time for all the Precures, could you just tell me, like, which are the ones that you feel are required watching? You know, we'd probably all go Hard Catch. We'd probably all go a Happiness. Oh, no, not Happiness.
Hell fucking, no.
How did that one slip in there?
No. My God.
Gold Princess. I'm sorry. Yeah. I think this one could easily make it towards a little bit towards the back of that list.
Yeah, and I think the other thing about it that I feel would really work on maybe people who are not that interested is the dessert aspect. People love food series, and I feel like having that incorporated, I think, is actually a pretty good hook for people who have not experienced the franchise yet, so.
At least I didn't say Sweet Precure. That would have been like,
all right, now we're going to,
yes, I just, territory. I wanted.
No, I think that was a really good summation, and now we're just going to talk about a few specific plot elements. So the first thing that I want to bring up is Rio, or Julio, or Pecco, I think, Pecco Rio, or whatever his fairy name is. So, you know, he starts off as a villain. He's a human villain. Then he is defeated. He leaves. But his past, like, we're kind of left with the knowledge of his past. We've seen some sort of, like, flashbacks, and there's clearly somebody, and who are they, and how do they fit in? And then we meet Seal.
And she's this, like, prodigy girl who's already a world-famous pâtissière. Like, oh, even though she's so young, she creates these wonderful concoctions as she learned to make in France. And so she's like, come to Japan to be like a little bit of a celebrity. And the main girl runs and like, oh man, if I can learn from this celebrity girl, then I could up my game. And then we find out that she's not accidentally in Japan. She is there on a mission.
And she is looking for her brother, her twin brother, who disappeared while they were in France. And that brother turns out to be Rio, and they are actually both fairies from the sweets world, and they wanted to become great pâtissières. They come here, and, like, Noir exploits Rio being a little bit,
like, falling behind and, yeah, like, yeah, getting really resentful about it. And, like, seeing his sister become this minor celebrity more and more in France, and his progress just kind of hitting this brick wall.
Yeah, so I just thought that was such a powerful story over the course, and it plays out over a course of a lot of episodes where it's sort of like slowly chipping away because he wants to come back to them, but, you know, he keeps having this, like, darkness, resentment in him that it's almost against his will that it's still there, and when he tries to make sweets, it doesn't have any of the love in it, so he has to really confront those feelings, and his sister and him have to kind of hash it out. I really thought that was just so good. He was one of my favorite characters. I'm only mildly disappointed, though, that I really thought he was going to be the first boy Precure.
Oh, no,
really
no.
Thought.
No, no. People were totally flipping their lids at the end of that one episode. But yeah, they seemed to, either that was never their intention, or they, like, seemed to wheel it back.
Yeah, because he gets Lumiere's power at one point. And yeah, I thought, this is it? You know, we finally are going to have one. And we, you know, that didn't happen. But I still loved his story. And I thought he was a great addition to the cast. I did wonder why he was not in the end very much, but.
Because, yeah, the other character who they seemed to be building up and then they didn't use as much as you would think in the end was Bibury.
Oh, yeah. And she was great. A fan favorite also, I think.
Yeah, she was the second villain. And man, You know, we'll get into this a little bit, but like, if you read into certain things that they just kind of like present but don't go into too much detail, her life is kind of fucked up. Apparently she's also the centuries old goth girl. They bring that up a few times and then, let's not dwell too much on that either. We'll leave it to the adults to think more about that.
The villains all had, for the most part, had some really dark stuff in their past that they had to deal with. In fact, like, Noir, he's from a war? It's so vague.
Well, the impression that I got, like you said, like, they seem to, like, bring up these things and then be like, I don't know if we want to go full dark, so we'll just leave the implication there. But it seems like, yeah, there was a major war, he fought on the other side, and then he got, like, stuck in the country after the war was over, and so it wasn't like he was hunted, but he wasn't really welcome anywhere either.
And I think that he wasn't hunted, but I think he was haunted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he definitely had PTSD. But it just also seemed like nobody really wanted to help him out either because he was still, the war was over, but he was still one of the, you know, the enemy country. So it did seem like, yeah, like, nobody seemed to be wanting to give him work or take him in. And only Luminaire was the person who would, like, give him any kind of comfort.
And this is what I wish that story would have been over maybe the course of an episode or two. But I still really liked that she was this kind person who took him in and tried to help him. And, you know, she was a baker, so that was, you know, one of, like, the ways that she tried to show him kindness. And that's why this whole thing is bakery related and dessert related, because they couldn't come to understand each other, even though I think Noir really wanted to. I think he probably loved her, but, like, he couldn't, he wanted to anyway.
I think the implication was that his PTSD was so strong that he could just not get over it and understand the lessons until, like, once again, the very end. The lessons that she was trying to teach him, because just what he had done haunted him so much that it tainted any kind of kindness that she gave him or that he tried to give out.
And his alter ego, Alessio, I think really speaks to that too, because Alessio's grand plan is to remove emotions from the world. Like, because I think Noir had such strong emotions,
both good and evil.
Yeah, that he reacted so strongly to everything. There was no half measure, and so remove all of it. So I thought that was so interesting.
And
dark.
And I mean, it's less than that, but the fact that the guy with the car.
Oh man, the only, like, throwaway villain.
But I mean, they never say it, but it's very clear that he's a Yakuza and he's upset. Society spits on him and he's like, "You're gonna spit on me? Just for what I do for a living? You know what? I'm gonna screw all of y'all." And once again, it's just interesting that they make it very clear that he's a Yakuza. They just never say it. Because it's like, well, this is still a show for little kids.
But like you said, Al, it's a lot of it's there for the adults to kind of pick out that's
or the fact that Noir murders Bibiri's parents, and then, oh, they left you and nobody loved.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, he's like, "Your parents left you.
They didn't want you.
And I'm the only one who loves you, so you have to serve me for centuries because no one will ever love you." And then, like, it's like the revelation that, like, when they go back in time and Bibi was like, "Oh, my parents didn't run away because they hated me. They ran away because Noir killed them. Holy shit. My whole life and, like, why I hate people is a lie. Fuck."
Man, this is some intense stuff. I thought that it happens over the course of the series, so you get a lot of these stories in between everything. I think that it was just, like, a really nice balance for the whole show of positive and negative and the dark and light and really seeing it play out. I mean, maybe the end was a little rushed. It feels as though they could have had maybe another episode or two to really, but kind of to start, to ramp up to the end a little bit more.
A little more with, yeah, like you said, a little more with noir, a little more with certain things.
But we didn't get that because they were still doing character-focused episodes, so I don't even really want to chastise them for that.
Okay, since we're just talking about random things, I figure you should get it off your chest that you really didn't like that butler guy.
Fuck him, okay? I was so mad because Cher Gelato, she has this dream that she's going to be this rock star and she's doing it on her own and she's going to, you know, make it. And there's a lot of different episodes about her kind of building up to that. And it makes it seem like her parents do not approve because she's super rich, you know, and they, of course, have all these plans for her, allegedly.
And her butler is all like, oh, what will society and the other rich families that we hang out think about?
And you need to be a proper lady or whatever. And then come to find out her parents are totally cool with her being a rock star and her butler just sucks. I'm like, fuck your butler. Worst butler ever of all time. Get rid of him. I think they were trying to cure girls of their butler obsession. That was it. They were like, no, look at this one. He sucks.
Because her parents are like, yeah, we're rich. If our daughter wants to go and try to be a rock star on her own, she has the family millions to fall back on. She could still get a good education otherwise. Go for it. Try your dream. It either works or it doesn't. You'll be okay.
Yeah, I have to say, lots of really good parents in this series, right? Because Ichika's parents are also really awesome. Her mom is a doctor without borders doctor who's just like traveling the world saving children. And her dad is just like such a good dad. He's such a dad. He's sort of embarrasses her sometimes, but he doesn't mean to. And he's, you know, very good natured and always
wears a karate gi all the time. Yeah. Like, you know, things have gone wrong. You're like, he's not a karate gi. This world is obviously the corrupted world of Elysio.
Yeah. But do you remember early on, there's like that episode where it seems like everybody dies in the town. It's like such a great episode. It's very, very early. It feels like a final episode. It was so intense. And yeah, the bunch with the dad in that one too. So really good. I think we didn't see, we have Yukari's grandmother who is super supportive, very like proper, you know, tea ceremony woman, but Yukari is just so hard on herself that, and her grandmother is like, yo, that is like not at all what I am trying to do here. So good.
Yeah, I think Cure Pudding's the only one whose parents we don't actually ever see, or if we do, it's very, like...
Yeah, I can't really remember them. The only adult I remember in her life is, like, the Alton Brown of the show, who's like, science and baking, or whatever.
The only other thing that I thought was interesting was essentially the... And this is one of those things where, like you said, I wonder if... Maybe they should have had a little more time at the end, maybe an episode. It's the fact that, like, the mascot becomes a Cure at, like, at the very end.
I really had a problem with them not calling her Cure Donut. She has donut little buns on her head. And, like, she makes donuts throughout the show. And she's just Cure Pecorin. Totally missed opportunity. Unless they're going to have an all donut themed pre-Cure in the near future.
Or maybe donuts will, like, if they have like a movie or something. They did do what they did for, they've been doing for a little while now, where the next to last episode is actually kind of pretty much the finale. And then they have like a falling action episode that also introduces the new Cure. So you get to see Cure yell a little bit at the end. But it isn't like a totally throwaway episode because, it goes into a lot of what people are doing and kind of
has... I mean, it's like a sad episode because Akira and Yukari are older than the other girls. So the other girls are going into high school. Yukari and Akira have graduated and they've like gone off to do their own things.
Yeah, like, Yukari's traveling the world, and Akira's becoming a doctor, so that isn't, like, some casual, I guess I decided to become a doctor. When is that? Like 10, 20 months at most? It's very much implied that they will keep in touch and that they're friends. But yeah, they are. She is not coming over for tea and biscuits every other night.
I mean, yeah, it's a very sad episode because it is about everybody sort of finding their own place. And so I think that was a really good lesson, though, just for kids. Just this idea that, you know, sometimes to make the things that you want come true or to, you know, follow your dreams, you do have to say goodbye to people, but that doesn't mean they're out of your life, and that doesn't mean, you know, your time together was wasted, but that sometimes you have to go pursue these things on your own. So I really liked that. Sad, but, you know, nice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, one thing, and I'm really surprised you didn't notice, is so the very last scene, not to spoil too much, is Ichika going around the world spreading love through pastries, as was her promise. And she meets this little girl and this little boy who seem to be reincarnations of Luminaire and Noir. But did you notice who is next to them?
No.
The dog, who was the one. There was also a little dog with Noir, and the dog was one of the villains who also died.
Oh, totally missed that. Nice.
I was watching, like, just a little clip, and I noticed that. I was like, it's the dog. He's also there with them.
Nice. That's the perfect way to end it, then.
Thanks for listening to another episode. You can visit us online at reversethieves.com and follow us on Twitter @ReverseThieves, @NarutakiRT, and @HisuiRT.